from Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. It's the Beer of the Day Podcast. Today's show is California Grab Bag Part 2. And this is where we go into the refrigerator and pull out all of the various beers from out our home state that we have piling up. And we try a few of them that we've never had before. And tonight we have five of them to try in a wide range of styles. An IPA, double IPA, a Belgian-style ale, a whiskey barrel-aged amber, and a pineapple colada IPA as our strange brew. My name is Dallas Helliker. Joining me tonight, Andy Hamilton, Steve Williamson, and from Pasadena, Jeff Miller.
Hey, guys.
Gentlemen.
Welcome. Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Although I said Happy New Year last time, but we recorded it before New Year.
That was a trick.
This is Happy Actual New Year.
Yeah.
We didn't die in a plane crash. We all survived.
We all made it back. Anyone have any interesting beers they wanted to mention this week?
Well, we went up to the, Dal and Andy and I went up to the Miner's Cabin for New Year's celebration, and we tried a few samples of all sorts of different beers there, but since today's Beer of the Day is Love Child number 5, I thought I would bring up that we had the Love Child number 6 up there, and I think that I wouldn't have even known it was the same beer, the same, you know, play on that beer if I hadn't been told that. They were so different, it was much less sour. I love the Love Child number 5. But I was really excited to try the number 6, and I was left a little disappointed.
Well, they do say that the fifth child is usually the favorite, and then after that, you wish you wouldn't have had another one.
Too many.
Hard to argue.
Yeah, I wish I had got to try that beer.
Where were you?
Actually, I probably did try it.
Yeah, I think you might have.
Steve just remembers it a little bit more.
Yeah. All right, well, first beer of the night, we have Gravity Check IPA. From Kern River Brewing Company, Kernville, California.
Get pouring, it's exploding.
Starting off 2016 on the right note, Jesus. Andy just spilled it all over his lap. I mean, half the beer made it out of the
Jeff's monitor bottle.
It gushed.
It's that session yeast exploding out of the bottle.
This is my favorite style of beer, and it just, I mean, if I was going to like one, this one just set itself back a bit by spilling all over myself.
I don't know, but if you're going to like a session IPA, I think coming from Kern River is a pretty high chances with this one.
Is this what this is, a session IPA?
Technically, but
5% is low. Yeah.
I think it's high for a session IPA, but they call it a session IPA.
You know what it smells like? Session IPA.
It has a nice, crisp hop aroma. It does remind me of Easy Jack, you know, that type of smell. You get that very crisp hop aroma, and then the color is what you'd expect. It's a little cloudy, light yellow color, maybe a little pale yellow.
But it's got a very fresh, like dank smell, which I'm guessing this has mosaic hops because I'm pretty good at detecting that. It's that it smells fresher than most hoppy beers.
I know the go-to IPA from Stone, they use, I can't remember how many, 17 different hops in the beer. It's their most hoppy beer that they make, you know, as far as variety of hops go. So usually they try and pack a lot in so you can get that hop taste without the alcohol that is usually associated with it. I'm quite a little, very little head on this beer, despite the fact that it exploded and foamed everywhere.
Yeah. Most of it's in my crotch.
There's a few wisps left in the glass.
I will say that
this is the weakest tasting IPA, quotation mark IPA, that I've ever had. It's so very watered down.
Yeah. It's missing its man parts.
I thought Andy was going to say he liked it.
I wasn't.
I mean, the flavor is there. It's just so watered down. Like, I wish I had the regular beer when they didn't cut it with like 10 gallons of water.
It's a little juicy.
Favorite from Kern River.
Some juice characteristics.
Yeah, so you get a lot of that fresh hop aroma and the fresh hop flavor, but you don't have the sugars and you don't have the alcohol to balance against it. So it's just kind of like juice, right?
I mean, the body's a little light. I mean, I like the flavor, but it doesn't have that body that I need in a beer.
And what's the difference between grape juice and wine? I mean, from a crude standpoint, is fermentation, right?
Yes. Alcohol.
Alcohol.
I mean, this does taste kind of like I could drink it. I take a gallon of it out of the fridge and pour it into a glass. Like, it's a replacement for orange juice.
Yeah.
It's just like hop juice instead of orange juice, but it's very reserved in its flavor.
I think this is good for what it's meant to be. I mean, at 5%, it's supposed to be light bodied. I like the kind of fruity flavor. There's maybe some melon, maybe a little bit of citrus, like tropical fruits. And I also get a little like slight peppery finish. Do you guys get that at all? Or is it just, it's crisp?
I do get a little the peppery dry. Finish. I don't love the finish actually. I was thinking the upfront citrusy flavor you get is actually pretty enjoyable. And then when it goes, you know, kind of the aftertaste to me, it gets
a little bitter,
peppery, and kind of, I don't really quite know how to describe it, a little heavy.
It's like the Yoo-hoo of IPAs. Like, you don't have the milk, water, chocolate.
It's, this is pretty interesting. I mean, compared to the ones I mentioned, Easy Jack and Stone Go-To, it's a very different beer. Those ones seem to have more flavor to me. This one seems to be missing something when I take a sip of it.
Yeah, Go-To is, it has too much flavor, in my opinion. Too much of the hop and not enough of the balance. And this one is just, I don't know. I still haven't found a Session IPA I enjoy. So
I think I have two. I mean, I haven't had a ton, but I think my two favorite ones are Easy Jack, which has pretty good flavor, and Pop-Up Session IPA by Boulevard. I don't think you guys have had that one, but that one's pretty good.
Yeah.
Boulevard makes gold.
I think that'll be the beer of the day next week sometime. I think that one's coming up.
Yeah. Easy Jack, too.
Oh, that was hard.
That's right. Next week could be session week.
We could do a, that one out.
We could do a podcast of like 12 session IPAs.
Yeah, we should
add that. We could do it.
Yeah, we should add that to the list. And now let's get into the beer news of the day. Our top story. So this was a pretty interesting article that came out, I think it was yesterday or the day before. There was a scuba diver in Nova Scotia, and at the bottom of Halifax Harbor back in November, he found a bottle, a beer bottle, and from the looks of it, the bottle seemed to be well sealed. So there was actually beer in this bottle from over 125 years ago. The cork was inscribed with A. Keith and Son Brewery. So they took it into the lab and they determined that, yes, it was beer in there. And so then they decided that the only thing that they could do was to try it.
What were they worried about? Might have been in the bottle.
Water.
Seawater.
Yeah.
Animal urine storage container.
So here's,
well, scuba diving in Nova Scotia in November. That's kind of cool, but not what I would expect.
Probably more than cool. Probably downright cold.
I would.
<Ba-dum-bum>.
During the day, John Krause works in a warehouse, but on nights and weekends, he's a treasure hunting scuba diver. He's found lots of bottles, old and new, while searching the bottom of the Halifax Harbor. That special something is an uncracked Keith's bottle, believed to be upwards of 140 years old. It wasn't the bottle itself that caught bar owner Chris Reynolds' eye, but the liquid inside.
We think that the liquid in this bottle is as valuable or more valuable than the bottle itself. We would love to arrange to have it analyzed.
So Krause and Reynolds decided to have the contents of the bottle tested at a lab at Dalhousie University with the help of assistant professor Dr. Andrew McIntosh.
We looked at the density, the color, the bitterness units, and the pH.
After all the tests pointed towards the bottle being filled with beer and not seawater, there was only one thing left to do.
It tasted surprisingly good and surprisingly like beer.
You wouldn't want to drink any of it. It's terrible. For a sample that's been sitting on the bottom of Halifax Harbor for 100 years, it was surprisingly familiar as a beer product.
There was a fair bit of acetic acid, maybe. The next thing was salinity. There was definitely a bit of salt water, maybe, in there. Got some cherry notes, maybe some oak notes, a little bitterness as well.
Just don't expect to find it filling any of the kegs at Reynolds' downtown bar. Matt Woodman, CTV News, Halifax.
Good one, Matt.
Don't sound very Canadian
to be filling the kegs at any bars. So yeah, interesting story. People post on the Sacramento Beer Enthusiast thing that I'm on. They find a beer like 2008 something. They're like, "Is this still good? Should I drink this?" And then people, a lot of times, if it's a a darker beer, barrel aged, they're like, "Yeah,
yeah."
Or they say, "No, it's probably bad. I'll take it off your hands and dispose of it properly." Yeah.
But be warned, you could break out in hives if you drink it.
That only happened once.
It's happened.
It has happened once. I've witnessed it. I have here the list of the most popular beers in NFL stadiums. Now, this list is not going to be very good. I'll just tell you that right now.
That's your opinion.
Bud Light.
Bud Light is in is the number one choice here.
The official beer of the NFL.
Well, that would make sense. The Philadelphia Eagles, Yingling. The 49ers, Blue Moon. The Indianapolis Colts, Pabst Blue Ribbon. The Chicago Bears, Coors and Guinness. So it's pretty much, there's no good beers on this list at all. So let's just end it right there.
And
but
everybody pays $15 for one.
Yingling is pretty good.
I've had it maybe twice, so I can't really speak to that. Yeah, well, it was the playoffs start tomorrow, so I figured I'd throw in a little NFL flair. And then the last story, last week or 2 weeks ago, we did kind of the end of the year, New Year show and looked back at 2015. Here was another list in Fortune that mentioned some of the best beers to come out in 2015 for the first time. Firestone Walker Easy Jack, which we just talked about. Avery Brewing Lilico e Capolo. I haven't had that one yet. Oscar Blues Pinner. Sierra Nevada Hop Hunter. Now, that one I was a big fan of this year. That's become a mainstay staple in my refrigerator. Very hoppy, very good. Sweetwater, Hash Brown, Ballast Point Calm Before the Storm. That's their cream ale. Stone, Sorry Not Sorry IPA. That was one of the popular ones from our list that was popular on the website. 21st Amendment Toaster Pastry. And they said, yeah, it sounded when it was announced like a gimmick beer, but it turned out to be pretty good. Edmunds Ost Viridi Rex. My Latin is a little rusty on that one.
Never heard of it.
So that's
heard of the rest.
But yeah, that's a pretty good list there. There was quite a few new beers that came out in 2015 for the first time that were pretty good. Let's move on to the next beer. We have Mischief, Belgian style ale from the brewery in Placentia, California, 8.5%. And I've been looking forward to trying this one. I've seen it in a lot of stores, and so I'm glad we finally had a show to fit it into.
This is a big bottle. I might need some help here.
Could you pour a little beer with my head, maybe?
That's what she said.
Check that out in there.
So there is a lot of head in this beer. The color looks a lot like the last beer, kind of a lighter yellow color. It's also quite cloudy, but the difference is that this has a substantial amount of white head, very fine bubbles. It looks like the foam on the that washes up on the beach.
Yours is cloudy. Mine is like crystal clear.
Really? Ours is definitely cloudy. Yeah, I mean, it's almost the exact same as the previous beer.
I put it in the paint shaker before we brought it in.
Well, this has the yeast is in the bottle, so maybe ours didn't settle long enough because it was laying on the side and we put it up.
Yes, it was.
Point. Yeah. So,
and then I also took a picture of it, put it up, and then put it back in the fridge, laying down. So it's been moved around a lot in the past week.
It says to leave the yeast behind. We're going to drink the yeast because it's there.
So the aroma is kind of a lighter Belgian quality. You get that Belgian yeast, maybe just a touch of citrus. It's a pretty light smelling beer.
It has like a German lager quality to the aroma.
I was actually thinking the exact same thing. Yeah, it's almost a...
I when we do the German lagers, I sometimes say rubber, and it's not a bad thing. It's just kind of like that the clean smell of rubber.
Like a new pair of sneakers.
Sure.
Rubber.
Yeah.
Rubber got a sneakers. Kind of funky aroma, I think. A little different. A little sour, but definitely Belgian. No head. I mean the head. I was very careful to pour it, but my head disappeared pretty quickly.
Ours was the opposite.
Yes. So this beer can vary from person to person.
It did dissipate pretty quickly, though, for how much we had initially.
Yeah. The first sip, I get a lot of like pepper.
I get a lot of orange peel.
I get both pepper and fruit, like citrus and maybe even like pineapple. Something a little acidic.
I think that's a good call.
Yeah, I get a lot of flavor on this. There's more flavor here than I expected. It's a very fruity tasting beer.
It almost like fits the Christmas winter beer category in that peppery sense, doesn't it?
Almost more of a like...
Not dark.
Almost more like a pumpkin spice than pepper.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
It's not peppery in terms of the bite of pepper, I don't think, but it does have those kind of earthy spices.
It's got some elements that remind me of the one we had from Victory, the Winter Cheers. It was the winter ale that was kind of a wheat ale. And this is not wheaty, but I get a lot of yeast in this, and it's I taste it, and it's not bad. I mean, I like the taste, but it's kind of got this banana and pineapple, lots of complex fruity flavors.
I really like the fruit flavors. It is a bold fruit. Fruit forward.
Very fruit forward. A lot of those holiday ones, they were kind of going more in the darker fruit, especially the darker ones. This is very like light fruit, citrus, pineapple, I think is a great call.
Yeah.
It's just such a fruity beer that you don't even identify it as having too many Belgian characteristics. Whereas when I smelled it, I didn't get a very heavy smell.
No.
And I got quite a bit of that Belgian yeast on the smell. On the taste, it's completely different. I don't get much Belgian, and the taste just hits you big time. It's very flavorful.
I almost say it's like the taste seems like a sour that's not sour at all. Get a sour beer and then just take all the sour out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the sours themselves are a strong taste. You know, it really coats your tongue and provides you that whole spectrum of taste. And this does the same thing, but it's just not a sour. Mm-hmm.
A few years ago, I had this beer because I was looking for a beer to buy, and this one was considerably cheaper than all the other brewery beers, which I love. So I got it, and this is before we were doing the show, and I didn't really analyze beer like I do now, and I didn't appreciate it then. I drank it, and it was enjoyable enough to finish without complaining, but it wasn't memorable at all. But I really enjoy this beer. I enjoy what it offers and what it brings to the table. I don't know that it's one I drink a lot of, but I really do enjoy having it on the show.
What do you guys think about the hops? I mean, it says on this label that it's hoppy, and I think there's a little bit of hoppiness, but I wouldn't call this a hoppy beer.
For a Belgian style, I would say it is.
Yeah, I can't taste it that much because the fruit taste is so overwhelming to me that I can't really detect too much hoppiness. It could be there, but then there, they're masking it with a lot of fruit flavors.
It's kind of a dinky finish that I get.
But I think it's a very smooth finish. Like it's got a good lingering taste that I enjoy.
It does. Yeah, to me that sweetness just kind of fades out and you know, it fades out until you're not tasting anything anymore. I don't get any the hoppy bitterness at all.
They did a nice job, and I remember before the show started, I made a comment that I don't typically enjoy Belgian-style ales because I don't think they do as nearly good of a job as a true Belgian, and I think that that quality is the smoothness of it, and this beer actually does a pretty good job of that. How Dal said it just kind of fades out. You don't get any kind of real bad taste at the end.
Yeah, yeah, definitely a good job here. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we have our Strange Brew segment with a pineapple colada IPA from Belching Beaver down in the San Diego area. And then a couple more stronger beers to finish it out. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, if you enjoy this podcast and the Beer of the Day website and want to know how you can support us, you can do so by shopping on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website. We have a banner at the very top of the site that says support Beer of the Day by shopping on Amazon. If you click that or you go to amazon.beeroftheday.com, it'll just redirect you straight to Amazon. You do your regular shopping and then we get a little percentage of what you spend. It does not cost you anything more. The prices don't go up. It's the same old Amazon as you're used to, but we get a little bit of commission, and that helps us pay for everything that we use on this show and on the website. That's the web hosting, our email service that we use to send out the Beer of the Day emails each day, our SMS service where we send a text message with the Beer of the Day to your phone. There's all the beers that we have on the show and all the podcasting equipment. There's a ton of expenses. And by shopping on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website, you help us out a lot. For example, just today, somebody bought Hill Science Diet Jerky Dog Treat Bag, 7.1 ounces. Apparently, one of our listeners has a fat dog that needs diet jerky treats.
That was for me, actually. It's cheaper than buying a regular beef jerky.
So, from that purchase, we received 24 cents. And we're going to take that 24 cents and put it towards beer on a future program. So thank you very much for that. Also, you can help us by telling a friend about our show. We are a relatively new podcast. This is only our 32nd episode, not even a full year yet. And we grow by you letting your beer drinking friends know about us. So if you have a friend that likes craft beer, show them how to download the podcast on their phone or just send them the link to beerofthedaypodcast.com and that's going to help us out as well. All right, let's get back to the show. Welcome back to the show. It's our Strange Brew segment. This is where we find a strange beer and try it so you don't have to. Or if it happens to be good, then you can try it, but you don't have to take that risk of trying a weird sounding beer because you never know how they're going to turn out.
We assume all risk.
I think we're at like 80% though of good beers in Strange Brew history. They generally turn out to be pretty good.
Yeah, that wasn't always the case, but as of late, yeah, I agree.
Well, I'm looking forward to this one because we've had Belching Beaver a couple times. When I think of Belching Beaver, I always think about the peanut butter stout. And not having had this beer, I feel like it's got to be the complete opposite end of the spectrum of peanut butter stout.
Can you imagine being at the Belching Beaver Brewery and you want to try those side by side? Peanut butter stout and Great Lay pineapple.
Pineapple colada.
This is a pineapple colored beer.
I know. I poured this and I was like, this looks like pineapple beer.
It also looks like urine sample.
Well, depending,
it's cloudy.
Depending on your dehydration level.
That's true.
I like the carbonation. Lots of small bubbles in there.
Yeah, just a small amount of white head. I do get kind of a syrupy pineapple smell, like I'm smelling canned pineapple. I open up the can of canned pineapple and smell it.
And less pineapple than I was expecting. I kind of get a powdered sugar smell.
Yeah, I don't get much aroma. I never get as much aroma as you guys do, but I don't get much off of this.
Yeah, you're right. It's not an aromatic beer by any means. It smells like pineapple juice.
Well, it smells like sugar to me. Like, I mean, literally powdered sugar, like a box of powdered sugar.
Ooh.
On the taste, I'm immediately...
put off?
No, I'm happy that it's not overly sweet.
Oh.
Like, I was expecting this to be like pineapple, so sweet, and it's not. There's actually some bitterness in the aftertaste. It's a little more, going to be a little more tougher to figure out than I was originally expecting.
I get no pineapple or colada. I get too much bitterness. It's not an enjoyable beer for me.
I don't agree. I mean, I think the pineapple is somewhat subtle, but I think the most overwhelming flavor is like this pina colada flavor and like maybe coconut.
Yep.
It's
now that pina I colada. Tasted it. Sorry, Jeff. Now that I tasted it, I know it wasn't powdered sugar I was smelling. It's coconut. It's definitely, I can taste coconut. Now that I taste it, I know exactly what the smell was. It tastes like it's pineapple. It's pina colada.
Yeah. I could see coconut lending its flavor to the bitterness of the hops and making it, for me, not enjoyable. I don't know if I pick up coconut, but I could see how that could be interacting.
It's kind of dry in the aftertaste. Like, it leaves kind of a cotton mouth feel where it's, I need a drink of water after I drink it.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know what I mean by this, but it's kind of sticky. Like, it's got a sticky texture to it. I joke around about this, but this is a beer that has a creamy mouthfeel. And of all beers, I think this is creamy, but the texture is sticky.
We did the pineapple beer. We did two of them, I think, earlier in the series. And I really liked having the pineapple flavor in the beer. But this one, is just, I don't get any pineapple at all.
There's slight pineapple. I actually really like this beer a lot. I don't know what it is about it. It's just that I think it's actually pretty well balanced in terms of how the sweetness and the bitterness, the coconut and the there's slight pineapple there, not overly fruity, not overly dark. I think it's pretty well balanced. I think it's enjoyable.
Yeah, third sip rule. It's become more drinkable, but it's still not something I enjoy.
I'm not surprised that Steve likes this, but I don't think I really like it. It's okay.
I went into it worried it was going to be too sweet, and I'm leaving it wondering where is the sweetness.
Yeah.
So it's completely different than I expected.
Agreed.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
Comments from this week. We had a comment from our buddy Rich O'Buckeye Nut on our New Year's Blast from the Past. And on that episode, we played a clip from Christmas 2014 where we had each had a wrapped in Christmas wrapping paper beer, and we opened it up and tried them. And I, as a joke, I snuck in a Bud Light into one of their beers. And Rich says, at 40 minutes, a Bud Light, mother's milk, is what Joel had called it. Ugh, I'm glad you've come to your senses since 2014 and are reviewing non-macro brews, LOL. Happy New Year's to you all. Looking forward to more podcasts in 2016. As are we, Rich.
Rich, you have the best comments.
He does.
Well, this week we had our biggest day on social media ever. Jeff put up the Stone Cold Steve Austin's Broken Skull IPA, and Steve Austin himself retweeted our daily Beer of the Day tweet and to his 4 million followers. And so it blew up. There was about 140 likes and 70 retweets or something. And so a lot of new people are now on Beer of the Day. And so we are thankful for Steve, our good buddy, for retweeting us.
Steve's are good guys.
And then we had a comment on Mr. Pineapple, Uncle Meatloaf, maybe a wrestling fan that came to the site brand new, signed up for an account just to comment on Mr. Pineapple. Just not my cup of tea. I really like Santan Brewery and most of their products, but this one just did not have the flavor I like. Could not taste anything kind of pineapple. So I wonder if that beer is related to this last pineapple beer where it says pineapple, but you don't get too much pineapple. So welcome, Uncle Meatloaf. I'm glad that Mr. Pineapple encouraged you to sign up to leave a comment. Please feel free to comment on any other beers.
That's a badass name, Uncle Meatloaf.
Yeah. So, yeah, if anybody has comments on beer, you can sign up on the site, create an account, and leave comments on any beer on the site, either with if it's beer of the day or you can just look it up. You can add your favorite beers, rate beers. It'll keep track of what your favorite beers of all time are as related to others. So that's good. Also, when you sign up, you can put in your email address or your phone number, and we will email you or text message you the beer of the day each day. So that's another way that you can get it. I mentioned Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter at Beer of the Day. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/thebeeroftheday, or follow us on Instagram at Beer of the Day site. And so we're posting the Beer of the Day to all three of the social networking sites as well. If you have any comments, I'm going to send Uncle Meatloaf a 6-pack of Beer of the Day coasters. I'll see if Steve Austin wants some. But Uncle Meatloaf, for sure, welcome to the site, and I'll send you some Beer of the Day coasters. If you leave any comments on the site regarding this podcast or beers in general, or on our Facebook page, then I will put your name into the hat and see if anybody next week wants a 6-pack of Beer of the Day beer coasters.
And if you see Beer of the Day on Tinder, make sure you swipe right.
Good call.
Pathetic.
Also, if you want us to, obviously podcast is an audio format. If you have any beers that you've had lately that are interesting or you wanted to mention, you can call us toll free 1-844-311-BEER, and it will have you leave a message, and you can leave us an audio message of a description of a beer that you had, and we'll play that on our next episode. All right, let's get into the next beer of the day. We have Chaotic Double IPA. This is from Twisted Manzanita Ales and Spirits, Santee, California. Where is that, Jeff?
It's outside of San Diego. This is actually one of the breweries that we tried to go to. I don't know if you remember, but it was like our last stop. And
probably not.
All of their like CO2 wasn't working, so they couldn't serve any beer.
I would say this one is the very dehydrated urine sample. They're getting a little bit darker as the show goes on.
I've actually never had any of their beers. I think this is a pretty small San Diego brewery.
This is a golden color ale, two fingers of just off-white head, pretty white. I'd say overall, all the beers tonight have been on the lighter side of
the color spectrum.
I'm sure that'll change when we move into the barrel-aged amber as our next beer. But for this one...
Smells good.
Does it smell a little sugary? Smells pretty... I don't know if it's the last beer I have in my glass, or... I'm still getting some of that coconut smell.
It's got kind of a caramel aroma. Compared to other beers, this is an aromatic beer.
Oh, yeah.
9.7%. Looking forward to this, too.
Why is there this blurry picture on the label?
I don't know.
It's a little abstract. It's chaotic, maybe.
Oh, okay.
I don't get a whole lot of hoppiness on the aroma. Just a little bit, but I kind of get the sense this is going to be kind of more of the East Coast IPA. Maybe a little more caramel malty than hoppy.
I took my first sip, and I'm not quite sure what to feel about it.
This is not a beer that Steve would like.
I think that
it initially is so sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, just up front is like pure sweetness. And then right away to me, it just went like no sweetness, kind of bitter.
Yeah.
It's like I find this in very few beers, but there's like an onion taste. Like it's not bitter, but it's onion, which is a weird word to describe a beer.
Yeah. At 9.7, I do get a little It like starts out so sweet you can't detect it, but then when the sweetness wears off, you get a little alcohol kick to it.
It's kind of got that like the dankness to it. It's got at first it's all brown sugar to me, a lot of brown sugar. But it finishes with the bitter, you know, a nice bitter finish for a double IPA. I enjoy it actually. Very drinkable for 9.7%. There's a little bit of the alcohol. You can taste it, but it's not overbearing.
That sweetness up front is killing it for me, I think. I almost don't want it there.
It is a little overly sweet to me.
I think we just converted Steve to an IPA head.
No, I mean, I'm not going to love a double IPA anyways, but it's like it's taking away from the IPA by having all that sweetness up front. I mean, you drink this and it's like you have a barley wine or something, and then all of a sudden it's like, nope.
Do you guys get any fruitiness? Like, it's not at first, but like in the middle.
In the middle,
It's not in the it's not up front, not in the finish.
Nope, it's right in the middle. There's some type of apricot or some type of fruit. It's really hard to identify.
Stone fruits.
I don't think it's that dark.
I think there's some like citrus, maybe some grapefruit.
I would say maybe a little plum or something like that, but it's not citrusy.
But I think it's piney also. Like a lot of hops have a pine flavor, and it's a little piney. But I just looked it up, 97 IBUs, yeah. Which I guess is what I would expect. I don't think it's overly bitter.
You can taste it.
Yeah.
Steve just poured the rest of his beer into my glass, so I'll give it another shot here.
Not my cup of tea.
Well, it's beer.
Not my glass of beer.
Yeah, I think maybe it's apricot. Little something, some type of fruit right in the middle. It just starts out sweet, and then there's a little, some type of fruitiness in the middle, and then it transitions, the sweetness dissipates, and then you get a little of that alcohol burn.
I liked when Jeff said onion. That spoke to me, because it kind of does. It's like you're eating some like sour cream and onion chips, and you get that little bit of oniony flavor.
I hate when he says it and then I notice it on stuff like that, because it's like, was it really there, or am I just screwing my own self?
But it's weird because I do get the fruitiness in the middle, and it kind of reminds me, I mean, when Dallas says apricot, but I almost think of peach, a little bit like that Sorry Not Sorry from Stone.
A little bit, yep. It could be that.
A little bit similar. I like the Stone one better. But
yeah, this one's a little too strong compared to the Stone one. Maybe they're the same. Alcohol, I don't know.
I don't think it's the alcohol in this beer, though. I really think it's just the sweetness. It's messing with your palate. Take away that initial sweetness, I bet it tastes a lot like Sorry Not Sorry.
The more I drink it, the more I'm starting to like it. So I think it's maybe an acquired taste. I don't think it's bad. I just think it's tough to adjust to.
Would you say it's chaotic?
I would say it's chaotic. I think it's aptly named.
And aptly labeled.
You know, I would buy this again. At first, I didn't love it, but I would drink this on a regular basis.
You'd still pay money for it.
I would. I think 4 or 5 sips in, it does get better.
The fact that they put fragrant,
resinous, and balanced. I think that's actually a pretty good description.
My initial thought, my very first sip is, do I think this beer is extremely well-balanced or extremely unbalanced? And I'm still not sure.
I balance is the one that doesn't ring true for me.
I think the fact that it starts sweet and doesn't finish sweet is the definition of balance. I mean,
I think of balance as being the hops versus the malts and how those work together.
I agree with that.
It's definitely interesting.
But I don't know that I would call this a balanced beer, and I definitely would not put it on the front of my label.
Would you put it on the back?
No. I've had much more balanced beers.
All right, well, let's move into the next beer and final beer of the show.
This might take a while.
This is Whiskey Barrel-Aged Amber from Indian Wells Brewing Company in Yokern, California.
Andy needs to microwave it to melt the wax.
Do you need a candle?
Yeah, so there is a wax top on this.
Oh, yeah.
Got it.
For our viewers at home.
We marred the table, but we got the top off. 12% Did I say that?
12%.
This one is the darkest beer of the night. That being said, it's not that dark of a beer. It's just your standard amber color.
Well, it is an amber ale.
Well, maybe. How about that?
Makes sense.
It's the color of a penny from 1984.
Did you gently rock it before you poured it?
Oh, we forgot.
I did actually.
Oh, well, when he was trying to cut the wax, he was rocking it around.
Yeah. No, before we started the segment, I did gently rock it.
That's the label instructions for our listeners.
It advises to gently rock the beer before opening.
It did. Unfiltered. Please gently rock bottle before consuming.
Was that like play like a Matchbox 20 album? You got to gently rock it? Is that?
Yes.
Okay.
Don't rock too hard.
No. You don't want to go full AC/DC on it.
It doesn't have much aroma.
Nope, just a little bit of a caramel sweetness. That's about all the aroma I get.
I might be reaching here, but I get kind of like a salt water smell.
That's just because you heard that news story.
Yeah. You're diving in
this
Halifax Bay.
This might be Halifax Bay beer.
It looks like it's that old, right?
It does have kind of a scent to it, like it's old. Like it's been, like we aged it for a couple of years, which we obviously did not do.
Well, it's been aged.
Maybe for a couple of years.
In whiskey barrel.
Yeah, probably less than a year. You know, we do have a lot of barrel-aged beers, but they're typically stouts and porters and barley wines. This is an amber ale. I've never seen an amber ale barrel-aged.
No.
In a whiskey barrel.
Me neither. And I went, you know, I went to this brewery. I think I talked about it on a show before. And it is a tiny place where I stood like a foot away from their bottling machine. And there were three people working there, and it is a very small brewery, but they got a cool tasting room. Like, you can go try any beer that they have on tap. They're like $1 per beer. It's a good deal if you're ever in the middle of nowhere, because that's where this is. It's a cool brewery.
So this has is a very light mouthfeel beer for a whiskey barrel aged beer. I mean, I cannot believe this is 12%.
Nope.
It's almost watery, you know?
It is. It tastes like a amber ale, like any other 6%
amber ale. 6%
amber ale.
It's unbelievable. I can't understand it. I mean, when it's, you expect it to be a heavier beer, and this is on the lighter side.
Yeah.
Well, you would imagine an amber ale, so you barrel age something in a whiskey barrel, it's got to have some flavors to offset the flavor of whiskey, right? An amber ale doesn't have that, so I want to know how they were able to do it, you know?
To me, it tastes like it was aged in French oak, you know? It's right. Like smoothed it out.
Well, when I drink
stainless
this,
steel.
To me, if I didn't know differently, I don't know that I would think this was aged in whiskey barrels. Like, there's no obvious, like, the taste I normally get from a barrel-aged beer, I don't really get that in this beer.
I do get the vanilla. I get a lot of vanilla in this, which you get off the barrel. But the whiskey is non-existent.
Perhaps they aged it in barrels meant to be whiskey barrels going forward.
It is brewed in small batches with only honest ingredients.
Only honest ingredients.
The ingredients,
what does that mean?
They do not lie.
You know what? Maybe it's because I smelled it up front, but that kind of salt water, I feel like this tastes like salt water taffy. Somehow, that doesn't
it's
make
like
any
the, it's
sense.
It's like the onion thing where once you say it, I hear what you're saying, but I don't pick it up before that. So
you know what I think it is? I don't know if it's vanilla. I mean, I get vanilla, but I think it's more like butterscotch.
Yeah, I can give you a butter, like more buttery than vanilla, sure.
But this is like the mouth coating. You know, when you talk about a beer that has mouth coating, this is it.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's an amber ale with a little smoothness, butteriness.
Where's the whiskey? There's not one drop of whiskey in this. It says aged 4 months, and not four, like the number four, but just aged 4 months.
F-O-R.
F-O-R. In Evan Williams whiskey barrels. 12%. This is like
I don't see it.
The eighth wonder of the world.
I'd guess 6%.
Me too. I think,
but I really like
someone's
it.
Someone's playing a trick on us.
I think the flavor is good. I think this is buttery, creamy. I think it's flavorful. I think this is super smooth, easy to drink. I don't really like amber ales, but I think this is a pretty good take on an amber ale.
Amazing.
Definitely very easy to drink.
It's too easy to drink. Like, it's my complaint about this one is the same as the first beer. That session IPA that was a little bit watery. Like, this is just too light of a mouthfeel. I don't feel like I'm getting all the flavors that I should from a beer.
But ales don't have a lot of complex flavors in general.
Yeah, amber ales, they don't.
Well, I think, like, Alaskan Amber or...
I don't put it Boon, far off from that.
Boont Amber.
Yeah.
I think both of those are more flavorful beers than this.
I think this reminds me of Anderson Valley Winter Solstice.
It's not nearly like the sweetness isn't there.
But it's got the same buttery,
yeah,
creamy texture.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I agree with that.
And the vanilla and the oakiness.
But at least that beer's a little heavier.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is twice the alcohol.
Allegedly.
We're going to test that theory out. I want to drink the rest of this tonight and see how I feel.
We're going to chug it and then see what happens.
See if we black out.
Wow. Unbelievable. Any other final thoughts on this one?
Pretty good.
All right, Andy. Let's recap the beers that we've had today, and we'll try and figure out what our favorite beer of the day is.
Okay, so we started off with the Gravity Check IPA from Kern River Brewing. Then we had the Mischief Belgian Style Ale from the brewery. We came back and had our Strange Brew, the Great Lay Pineapple Colada IPA from Belching Beaver. Then we had the Chaotic Double IPA from Twisted Manzanita. And we finished it off just now with the Whiskey Barrel Aged Amber from Indian Wells Brewing Company.
Let's see who is going to choose their beer of the day first. And it is Andy.
All right. I'm going to go. You know, this show really, I don't have a lot of great things to say about very many of these beers. Other than the Session IPA, the rest of them were drinkable. Well, the rest of them other than my beer of the day. My beer of the day is the last one, the Whiskey Barrel Aged Amber. None of these beers gave that kind of complexity. Maybe the Mischief did in its own way, but this is like a, there's just, how do you explain how this beer even exists? You know, at 12% and the taste that is simple, you know?
It doesn't. It's fantasy.
It's like you go to a freak show to see the things you can't believe.
The ingredients are honest. They would not lie.
No.
It's 12%.
Why would they even need to tell us it's honest if it was really honest?
maybe it's a ruse.
Are the other beers lying about their ingredients?
They must be. So that's my beer of the day for sure.
Steve?
I don't know. Can I pass?
Nope. You have to choose.
It's a toss-up for me right now between the Whiskey Barrel-Aged Amber and the Mischief. I think the only one, if I was on the Beer of the Day website rating my beers of the day, the only one I could give a 4 to is the Whiskey Barrel Aged Amber. So for that reason, I'm going to take that as my beer of the day. Andy mentioned all these beers were kind of middle of the road for me. I liked the Great Lay more than anyone else, but just for that different factor, I'm going to take the Whiskey Barrel Aged Amber.
All right.
I have a question. How are you not on the Beer of the Day website rating beers? It's illegal, I think.
Right now he's on a podcast, so.
It's illegal not to be?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
He rates beers.
Yeah.
Oh, you just mean not right now?
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Like,
okay.
When I rate these beers later.
He's saying that the only one he could give a 4 rating to is the last one.
Man, all these personal attacks coming from Jeff.
Just making sure.
I rate beers all the time.
Because we encourage beer that. We really want everybody to go rate beers.
All right, Dale.
All right. My beer of the day is a pretty easy choice because I didn't like any of the other 4 at all. I am going to choose the Mischief Belgian Style Ale. Even though it's not really much of a Belgian ale, I do like the fact that there's a ton of flavor to it. A lot of fruity flavors going on. It was a very drinkable beer. I know, like Andy said, you wouldn't want to drink it a whole all the time, but it's one I wouldn't mind having again at a later date. So good job, the brewery, on your mischief.
All right, for me, I mean, it comes down to the same two that you guys have each picked. Those are the two best ones of the show for sure. But I'm going to go with the Whiskey Barrel Aged Amber from Indian Wells.
Yeah, you are.
I am. I have to. This is, you know, I have another bottle of this, and it's the one that I'm most happy that I have another bottle to drink. And it's not something I thought I would like, because I've had other beers from Indian Wells and I didn't really care for them. This is probably the best beer I've ever had from Indian Wells Brewery. I love how smooth it is. It's easy to drink. I could drink two of these bottles, especially at the 12%, that might be 6%, but I could drink two of these.
Hell, I have four of them.
Maybe.
Hey, Jeff, can you age that one, like, maybe for one more week when I'm down there?
I'll save it. We'll drink it again a week from now. But I like the caramel, the butterscotch, the vanilla. I think this is just a really easy to drink and tasty beer. And I don't love amber ales, but I really like this beer. So I'm going with the same one as Andy and Steve. You can check out anytime you like, but you can
never leave. All right, well, that's going to close out our California Grab Bag show. But we thank you for tuning in and remind you to check out the Beer of the Day website. If you have any beers that you have in your fridge and you want to share with the rest of the beer drinking world, you can add a beer to the Beer of the Day website and we will feature it as the Beer of the Day. Write a description, upload a photo, and we can send it out to everybody. So it's a beer community, Beer of the Day, and everybody can participate. Next week, we will be traveling down to the LA area and be trying some beers down there. And so look forward to that on future episodes of this program. We'll see you next time. For Jeff Miller, Andy Hamilton, Steve Williamson, I'm Dallas Helliker. We'll see you next time here on the Beer of the Day podcast.